Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Life Enthusiast Co-op's online radio network, beaming around the world via iTunes and podcasting. And it stars Martin Patella, the founder of the Life Enthusiast Co-op, and his humble co-host, Scott Patton. How are you doing today, Martin?
Scott, you have been promoted. You're now the executive producer, and I'm doing fine.
Oh, awesome. Great. And I appreciate the raise in salary that goes along with that. I'm very, very excited because I am in week two of my colonic therapy, which is basically going twice a week to a hydrocolonic therapist who sticks a hose somewhere and cleans out my insides, which we've been talking about for the last week or two. And one of my concerns was I had some discomfort in the insertion of the hose, and one of the things that my colonics, what I don't know what you call her, like a colon therapist?
Yeah, I think it's a good word, yeah.
Or a hydrotherapist, said that she thought that maybe my prostate was slightly enlarged and it was pushing, right?
Which
totally sent me into this whole tizzy about, you know, things with the prostate. So yesterday when I went, she said, you know, you don't feel like you have to pee when at all during the process, right? And I go, no. She says, and it's not pushing against your prostate. It's probably not enlarged, because if it was, you would have had this feeling of having to go pee the whole time because it would be pushing here and pushing there and everything else, which went like, oh, what a relief, right? But it still kind of felt like when it was going in that it was sort of pushing against something that was raw or whatever. And she said, one of the things that I definitely have is a lot of candida. She can see it coming out, and there's redness, and she recognizes it, right? So this got me thinking about, you know, now, of course, because I'm thinking about bowels and colons and all these sort of things, is, you know, my mind then went to, well, you know, maybe I've got a growth there, maybe I've got this there, maybe I've got that there. So before we went on the air, I looked up, you know, stuff about bowel cancer, and I found this article that was published yesterday in the New Zealand Herald, and it's 5 Rules to Avoiding Bowel Cancer. So I just wanted to kind of quickly give these things out and maybe get a couple comments from you. And then there was one part in particular that, just to my way of thinking, is just another reason why the sort of the typical average position, like we talked about the RDAs, right, and with iodine last week, being if it's 1, you know, but the optimum level is like 2600, right? Like how out these RDAs, or what people think are kind of normal, are from what they should be. So without any further ado, a major study was done, and it pointed to 5 rules said to reduce the incidence of bowel cancer, among other things, right? So where are they? The rules were: be physically active for at least 30 minutes a day, have no more than 7 drinks a week for women and 14 drinks a week for men. I'm assuming that's alcohol. Be a non-smoker. Have a healthy diet. Okay, and I know because of those 4, we could probably talk forever on, right? You know, well, except maybe non-smoker, like just don't smoke, right?
But yep,
the one that got me, and I actually did a Google search on this because I was wondering what it was in English. Have a waist circumference below 88 centimeters for women and 102 centimeters for men. Now, growing up with the imperial system, I know I got an idea of how many inches I should be around my waist, but I have no idea how many centimeters, right? So 102 centimeters is basically like 44 inches.
Right.
Okay, so 44 inches around your waist. Like, I'm 34 inches around my waist, and I think I got some...
Hold on. Hold on. Just because you're able to put 34-inch pants or jeans on does not necessarily mean that you have a waist that's 34.
Oh.
Remember the wonderful truck driver, or the wonderful, what's his name? plumber, you know, that comes in with his pants gently tucked under that gorgeous belly that hangs over top of it. Like, if you don't have a flat belly, as a man, you can still wear size 34 jeans, but the gut is going to be hanging well over top of it.
All right, right. So I just went and got this is what you hear is my tape measure.
So
38 inches. So I'm 6 inches less than, I'm going like, holy smokes, like that's still out. A lot. So you've just, here's my whole point, which you've just helped me illustrate, which is what they say and what I think are, because I'm thinking, okay, 44 inches, I read this, 44 inches, no problem, I'm wearing 34 inch pants, I'm good, right?
Yes.
Maybe not, right? Because maybe that's, like you said, it's 34 inch pants, but the waist is well over 44 inches, and in my case, 38 inches. So, and I'm working on getting it down, right? I'm not happy with where it is, but I mean, at least it's kind of going in the right direction. And it just occurred to me, you know, we get these information, this information gets out as, you know, expert information, research, studies, all these sort of things, and the information is not good. Like, be physically active 30 minutes a day. Like,
actually, that's quite a bit for, you know, normally you hear, oh, 3 times a week. These guys, the ante to every day.
Right.
Yes.
So, anyway, there's the common sense, good general health message.
Yeah, well, you just did a perfect plug for a rebounder in and off. Because, you know, if you put the rebounder in the office, all you have to do is spend maybe 15 minutes on it because it's so intense.
Yep. That's right. So.
The next thing is, you know, the measure in the circumference. Well, it should really be that your hips should be at most 80% of your biggest dimension. Or you should be the biggest at 1.25 times the pant size. Right? So if your pant size is 34, quarter of that will be 8.5. So if you added 8.5 to that, you would be 42.5 around your waist.
Mm.
That's the limit for. So these guys have put it at 44 general, but, you know, if you're slim guy, you know, like small frame, then you should be less, you know, like you shouldn't be a ballooned out skinny guy.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yep, I agree that those are the numbers. If you're big and fat, your risk factors go up big time.
Yeah, and get that exercise and eat lots of superfoods.
Yes. I thought that this was going to be exactly the spot where you'll say, and the reason I am slimmer now is because I've started eating a better diet, more alkalizing to my body type. I cut out some foods that were making me acidic, and that's how I lost a lot of weight.
Well, I would say that Lipalone has been magnificent in helping me to have my body kind of eat away at the fat, and then the Exela superfoods and the zeotine have been doing a great job of helping me control cravings. My cravings now compared to 6 months ago are nowhere near the same. So I'm eating less things that are sugary for sure. And I've cut out a lot of carbohydrates, like pastas, and I maybe have a slice or two of bread a day as opposed to 4 or 5. And I'm working on getting that down. And then, of course, you know, the hot yoga and the rebounder. I love my little rebounder. Just a second. It's right here in my office. It's me bouncing up and down on my rebounder.
Yeah.
And I can really feel everything moving around, like the lymphatic system really getting not worked out, but, you know, the liquid's moving around, and I notice that when I come off, it feels like my body is slushing around for 30 seconds before it settles down.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's good. I mean, wonderful to hear that you're making this progress, and of course the confirmation that there is candida tells us that indeed that has been the biggest source of your cravings. Because, you know, it's the little fungus that lives inside of you everywhere, and it calls for food. It wants sweets. It wants carbs. It wants starch. That's what it lives on.
Yeah.
So that's the cravings, you know, that 8 o'clock call that you think that you're wanting to or needing to eat some carbs. Well, in truth, that's the little creatures calling, feed me.
Feed me. Well, and the other thing that I think is really important, and I don't feel like I give it as much credit as I should, is water. You know, first of all, the water is in a laminar cup that we were thinking about getting for the Life Enthusiast Co-op and decided not to.
Manufacturer that decided not to. I would have gone with it.
Yeah. So I was fortunate enough to get one of the samples, and I only drink out of it. To be quite honest. And
yeah.
And then there's I forget the name of it too. I just love it. It's the Adia Gold Ionic Mineral Solution. Adia. And I just think that's great because it's ionic minerals like calcium, magnesium, potassium, iron, manganese, zinc, sodium, phosphorus, and some trace things of silver and cobalt and chromium. And you could just go on and on. So it's good water that I'm drinking. It's not just sterile reverse osmosis water. And I think sometimes there's so much information about water that's contradictory out there that we really need to spend time on an ongoing basis educating people on the proper water we should be drinking.
Uh-huh. In fact, you know, of all the people that would call in from our podcast show, you know, a phone call comes from Abu Dhabi.
Our friend in Abu Dhabi called you?
A friend in Abu Dhabi, and he calls up and he says, Martin, please put on a show about ionizers. I want to understand what the deal is.
Okay.
So I said, okay, we will. We'll answer all those things about ionizers. I think we can do it probably in 2 minutes.
Okay. Well, first of all, what is an ionizer?
Right. So we have this device that has electric plates inside itself. Direct current, and as the water runs across these plates, if there is any electrolyte in the water, that means the water must not be either reverse osmosis or distilled. It must be water that has actually minerals in it.
Mm-hmm.
And the electropositive get pulled to the negative electrode, and the electronegative get pulled to the positive electrode. So all of a sudden there's an overabundance of acid on one side and alkaline on the other side. And it's sort of a temporary situation. The ionizers change a few more properties of the water. They typically raise the ORP, making it more negative. They typically also change the clustering of the water for the smaller. But here we have it. So there's this device that essentially sorts the water, right? All of the alkaline ions flow out of one pipe, and all of the acidic ions flow out of the other pipe. So you have, and typically you have settings on it, so you can set it to 8.5, 9.5, 10.5 on the pH scale.
Okay.
Some people think, I want more, right? They just go for high-strength 11.0 pH water. Well, that's not necessarily giving you any favors. It's just simply pushing you a lot. So if you do too much of it, you might give yourself a cleansing reaction.
Right, and that's one thing you want to be aware of. Like, I think one of the things that I like about what we talk about is a lot of it is how to do things in a gentle way.
Right. Yes, people have caused themselves all manner of trouble by being just too brave. Anyway.
And then regretting it.
So here goes the ionizer, right? In fact, just recently, Dr. Mercola stepped up into this arena. Mercola is one of the bigger writers. Like, his mailing list is probably about the ten times the size of ours, mm-hmm. and he's very visible. And he managed to just declare that water ionizers are just bunk. You know, it's just nonsense,
okay.
which is really unbelievably stupid of somebody of his size and importance to actually go out without a considered opinion. You know, like he actually declared in this article and the podcast that he did that he didn't know. But he didn't need to know because he already knows.
Oh, you know, that makes sense.
Sort of thing like, I've never tried it, but I already know that it's nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Not good.
No, not good.
So, of course, he got a whole bunch of manufacturers of ionizers quite upset because when a guy who carries a lot of weight goes and declares that everything you do is nonsense, that's not a good thing.
No.
And here's
particularly when he then says he doesn't know, he just assumes.
Right. Well, anyway, here's what the declaration was. When you drink the alkaline water, it goes in your stomach. And, of course, your stomach is quite acidic. So the declaration was, well, if you drink alkaline water and put it into an acidic stomach, what do you get? It just neutralizes and you're done.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing happens, it's over. Therefore, it must be nonsense. But, of course, that's not so. I mean, when you supply an abundance of electrons, that's what alkaline means.
Mm-hmm.
Did I say it right? Well, anyway, when you supply the electric quality of alkalinity to the body, there always is a reaction to that. Somebody asked me the other day if I was using a water ionizer. And my answer was, no, I'm not. I don't need one. Because I actually had one here. I had it here for about 6 weeks, and I shut it off and gave it away because all it was doing is was making me overly alkaline.
Okay.
So the point is, if
we don't want to be too much alkaline or too much acidic.
You know, the illness or the conditions that are caused by over acidity would be things like cancer or arthritis or, the other...
Candida?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
No, it's the illnesses that are inflammatory, like fibromyalgia or lupus or things like that, you know?
Okay.
So those people who are suffering with those types of conditions, well, they would be well advised to have an ionizer until they manage to balance the ions in their body.
Right. So an ionizer is different than a filter.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Actually, most ionizers do have filters built in. Filter will remove, well, you have multiple types of filters. You know, the most pre-filters will take out mud, right?
Right.
They call it turbidity, and it will usually be something like an acrylic yarn. So that will strip that, and then you have a filter that will remove chlorine. That typically will be a carbon filter. And then you can have other types of filters that will remove other contaminants. So it could get quite complicated.
Right. But the ionizer basically is the electric, we're talking there about the electric charge of the ions of water.
Yep, the two plates, or the plates across which the water travels, and the water is now separated into two streams.
All right, one more acidic and one more alkaline.
By the way, the acidic is really useful when you wash your hair or your skin, your face or whatever with it. It really improves the look of the tissue. Makes your skin healthier.
Cool.
Right. So how do I answer my distant, remote friend and tell him that he should or shouldn't have a water ionizer? Something like this. If your lifestyle is such that brings you into oxidative stress, then having an ionizer will help you balance that. If your lifestyle is already in balance, having an ionizer is silly because it's going to push you over too far.
So in your experience, Martin, what percentage of the population are balanced and probably wouldn't need an ionizer?
Oh, I don't know, 4 or 5 in 100?
Yeah, so 4%. Those would be the people that eat only organic and free-range chickens. And
well, you know, there are other ways to balance yourself, right? I mean, drinking alkaline water is not the only one. You know, you can supply your body with other alkalizing techniques. You know, we talked about food combining. When
right,
concentrated food per plate, you will lighten the load on your body so that it will not be as acidic. We discussed in the past the body types. If you're a metabolic type that is alkalized by fats and proteins, eating a lot of fruit and carbohydrates is going to do you harm. And vice versa. If you are the body type that is alkalized by fruits and vegetables, eating a lot of protein is going to be bad for you. It will acidify you. And then there are the activities that acidify people. You know, staying up late, stress, drinking sugared drinks, drinking coffee, alcohol. Did I say staying up late? That's one.
Yeah.
You know, all of those are acidifying events. Suntanning is a acidifying event. Can you believe it? So when you engage in acidifying activities, you need to figure out some way to balance it. If you balance it through your diet, great. If you don't, you are developing an acid-alkali imbalance. You're developing a deficit. Then you need to figure out some ways how you can make up for that deficit.
Cool. And
there is one of such tools that indeed you would be able to reverse the deficit.
So I was just reading one of the articles on the Life Enthusiast Co-op website on ionized water research articles, and there was a presentation at the 8th Annual International Symposium on Man and His Environment and Health and Disease that was given by Dr. Hayashi, MD, and Dr. Kawamura, MD, on the concept of... basically said they introduced alkaline ionic water in our clinic. We've had the following interesting clinical experiences on the use of this type of water. By the use of alkaline ionic water for drinking and the preparation of meals for our inpatients, we have noticed declines in blood sugar levels in diabetic patients, improvements in peripheral circulation in diabetic gangrene, declines in uric acid levels in patients with gout, improvements in liver function exams with hepatic, which I guess is like hepatitis disorders, improvements in gastroduodenal ulcer and prevention of their recurrence, improvements in hypertension and hypotension, improvements in allergic disorders such as asthma and other things that I can't pronounce, improvements in persistent diarrhea, which occurred after gastrectomies, quicker improvements in postoperative bowel paralysis, improvements in serum bilirubin levels in newborn babies. I should have skipped a few of those.
Medical vocabulary training.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Serum bilirubin is the pigment or is the thing that your liver produces as a treatment of fats. It's used for digestion of fats.
Right. And then they went on to say, too, that there was definitely improvements in the way the bowels were moving and their stuff was coming out of that end as well. So
the list of things that you gave, all of which are the oxidative stress illnesses associated with a rich industrial society lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Diabetes was unheard of in societies until we started eating these stupid diets loaded with carbohydrates and high fructose corn syrup. You know, the diabetes epidemic that's upon us is entirely and completely caused by the American industrial food growers, because they have been pushing things like corn, soy, and wheat into the society. And they're trying to invent even more ways how they can load more into the society, and that's how you get this.
Yeah.
The more soda pops you drink loaded with 9 lumps of teaspoons of sugar in it, yeah, the surer you are to get this kind of problems. Anyway, so wonderful. So they were indeed able to see reversal of symptoms associated with stupidity.
That's a good way to put it, yeah.
and great, precisely. So if you're going to live a lifestyle that is going to include doing the things that are going to make you sick, you may as well go get yourself an ionizer, because it's going to help and make you healthier. There's just no question about that. I'm just simply saying it's not the only way to go. You do not have to spend a couple $1,000s on one of these things. But if you find yourself already with one of these illnesses, such as arthritis, diabetes, heart disease, cancer, you know, any one of these things that are indeed caused by the stupid lifestyle, then please go send us your money. We will send you an ionizer, and we will help you greatly with that thing.
It also would be, like, when I'm just sort of thinking about it, right, it would also be an easy, because it's difficult to cut out these sugars and these starches and these breads and all the rest of it, right? So, and it's a process. So it seems to me that drinking water is a relatively painless, easy way to get on the right path. I'm not saying that, you know, that people shouldn't. I think as we feel better and healthier and everything else, we will naturally, you know, eat better, particularly if we put our intention on it. But it strikes me, too, that by drinking the ionized water, that's pretty easy to do. I mean, it doesn't taste awful or, you know, it just tastes like water. And so that would be a good, easy way to take a good step towards improving your health, particularly if you're suffering some of these, you know, painful diseases.
Civilization illness?
Yeah.
As if civilization were associated with stupidity. You exactly have the point. And of course, you know, our industrial society is also really into gadgets, right? Like, it's so much easier to say, well, just buy this gadget and it will improve your life, as opposed to going in and saying, you have to change your habits or give up something. So it's easier for me to say, oh yeah, just send me $2,500 and I'll send you this device and you'll plug it into your water tap and you'll start drinking this water and we will help you greatly. By the way, similar effects that this delivers can be got from other water devices like Phi Sciences, a company started by Dr. Panik, manufactures a product called Microhydrin, which when you add Microhydrin to your diet, that is a universal electron donor. It also deals with the oxidative stress. Very successful.
Right. And the prills. Like I have the prills in my water filter. I have a gravity-fed water filter, and then I have the prills in the bottom, and it just it's wonderful.
Yes, the prills will do something very similar to what the water ionizer will do. That's kind of comical, really, you know, where we would sell you for $15 a bag of prills that will treat about 1,000 gallons. That's probably about 3 years of your drinking. And it's roughly comparable to the $2,000 ionizer.
Yep. Cool. So we know what the water ionizer does. We know why people should use it. And is there any? And you kind of mentioned, too, that we've got the alkaline water kind of coming out of one side. We've got acidic water coming out the other side. And that acidic water is really good for washing things or
body.
Using yeah. our body, right?
Yeah.
So it's not we're not on an anti-acidic kick here when it comes to the water. There's benefits to both types.
Yes.
Is there anything else you'd like to add about water before we sign off for this week, Martin?
Just, you know, it's the principles are very simple and the basics are very straightforward. If you are maintaining your pH, your balance internally through reasonable behaviors, you don't develop this illness and you don't need these gadgets to help you. You only need all of this expensive stuff when you are unwilling to do the right things. And by right things, I mean eating correctly to your metabolic type, eating healthy, nutrient-rich foods. You know, we keep talking about our the superfoods we make, and that is just so basic. You know, people ask me, well, what should I do? I said, well, first get on the superfood. Don't even question it. Just get on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it's I'm finding it really frustrating, especially today when I'm answering questions about, oh, I have cancer this and I have an inflammation that and I'm aching here and I'm painful there. And what should I do? And what gadgets should I buy? And it's not that. It's what behavior should you do every day to not even get into this problem? And that is high nutrient density foods, like the superfood. Lots of good and the proper food combining, the acid-alkali balance of your lifestyle itself. So, anyway, today, Martin, in high gear, if you were here in person, I'd be probably grabbing you by the throat and shaking you, saying, come on, get a grip. No.
That's right. Make choices that are going to help your health.
Yes. Well, anyway, so that's the story on water ionizers and other gadgets that will cost you thousands. I highly recommend you buy them from us because we make good money on it. The point is this. I would much prefer if you were eating well and never needed this thing in the first place. So that's the Life Enthusiast message. We are restoring vitality to you and to the planet. You can find us at www.life-enthusiast.com or on the telephone. You can get your pep talk here at 1-866-543-3388.
Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.